other side of midnight. Pink Floyd, Have a Cigar. We are celebrating, believe it or not, National Winston Churchill Day today. Winston Churchill, among his many other claims to fame, happens to be one of the most famous cigar smokers, maybe the most famous cigar smoker of all time. Here to break that down for us and a whole bunch of other stories related to the subject of cigars is Gary Korb. He is the executive editor for CigarAdvisor.com. Good morning, Gary. Thanks for joining me on the radio.
Hey, Frank, nice to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So why is it National Winston Churchill Day in the United States? Why would we in the United States be celebrating somebody whose career primarily saw him leading another country?
Well, you know, Winston Churchill's mother was American. You know, her name was Jenny Jerome. And in 1963, President Kennedy decided to honor Winston Churchill with an honorary American citizenship. And that was on April 9th, 1963, which is why we call this today Winston Churchill Day. Now, his birthday was November 30th, 1874, you know. But because of this proclamation that President Kennedy did, we call April 9th Winston Churchill Day.
Right, well,
so there you go. Now, he could not attend the event because in 63, he died in 65. But his son and grandson were there. So
now, a lot of us remember Winston Churchill from speeches like this one.
At any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them. That is the will of Parliament and the nation, the British Empire and the French Republic, linked together in their cause and in their need, will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets.
Why are we talking about Winston Churchill on with you, a cigar expert?
Well, first of all, cigar smokers love any excuse to smoke a cigar, you know. I mean, and this is as good one as any. He is associated with cigars. Of course, he was a great statesman. You know, he was really a Renaissance man. I mean, he was, if you look at, you know, if you want to talk about cigars, look at the Davidoff Winston Churchill collection. And it was broken down into like his statesman, you know, the writer, the artist, you know, the military man. You know, I mean, he really was just an amazing person. And so, you know, what happened was, I'm going to tell you how we got into cigars. What happened was, you know, when you were someone like Winston Churchill, you know, growing up in England, at his status, in his class, it was very important that you kind of made a name for yourself. And a lot of the ways young men did this was by joining the military. So he joined the military. And what happened was, you know, he felt like, I got to get into some kind of a battle. I got to get into a skirmish. And I got to get used. I got to see if I'm actually going to like this, you know. So he goes to Cuba in 1895 and with his another officer who is, you know, supposed to, the two of them are going to go to Cuba, and they go to Cuba and they are supposed to meet this like Spanish emissary. Okay. So now the Cubans were trying to get away from Spain at the time. So there was, he said anything could happen. It was very exciting for him. You know, he was really prepared for anything. And so anyway, he and this other officer are, his name was Reginald Barnes. They're supposed to meet this Spanish emissary down at the waterfront, and he doesn't show up. So now they don't know what the hell to do. So they rent a hotel room in one of the best hotels in Cuba, and they spend the next 3 days doing nothing but eating oranges and smoking cigars.
Wow.
And this is how we got into it. And he smoked 8 to 10 cigars a day.
A day? My goodness.
A day, yeah.
Wow.
I have people that follow us at CigarAdvisor.com who do that easily.
That is something. Wow. Now, a few years ago, I was talking with Pat Buchanan about his book, Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. And he's very tough on Churchill in this book. And I asked Pat about that and some of Churchill's views and his leadership during World War II. This is a little bit of my conversation with Pat Buchanan from 3 or 4 years ago. In a nutshell, sir, can you explain some of the major mistakes that Churchill did in the run-up to the war, during the war itself? And you also talk about Churchill's own views when it comes to white supremacism and eugenics, not terribly different from Hitler, were they?
No, they weren't. And the British themselves, Leo Amery and others, said Churchill's views, his language about third world people, Indians and Africans and others. I mean, he told FDR, you know, the Anglo-Saxons, we are a superior race. And of course, as an imperialist, he believed that. But let me tell you, Churchill's decisions. First, he pushed Chamberlain to give the war guarantee to Poland. In other words, to go to war on behalf of a country Britain could not defend, did not defend, and had no intention of sending troops to defend. He just gave them a war guarantee, thinking that would make Hitler back down. Secondly, after Hitler cut a deal with Stalin, overran Poland, Hitler wanted peace. He wanted peace. He said, I got no reason to fight the British and French. I've got Danzig back, the corridors all back. We've divided Poland, so we don't want a war with the Brits. And the Brits had hid behind the Maginot Line, along with the French, and had done nothing but drop leaflets on Germany. So, Churchill came to power how? He came to power because of a disaster in Norway when Hitler moved into Norway in 1940, in April. He moved there because Churchill, First Lord of the Admiralty, had blabbed about British plans to move into Norway. Churchill got there a month, he got there 24 hours after his Navy got there 24 hours after the German Navy arrived. That caused the fall of Chamberlain's government, and Chamberlain's government fell. Churchill came to power because of a disaster which was his own creation, which brought down his boss.
Gary, any reaction to Pat's criticism of the war guarantee for Poland or some of Churchill's views on white supremacy?
Well, I got to tell you the truth, Frank. I've never really heard anything like this. Be honest with you, I'm not really, you know, a big historian in terms of Churchill himself and his career. I do have a very good book called Churchill's Bomb, which is an excellent book about the atomic bomb. But I don't really. That's the first time I've heard that, to be honest with you. And I probably wouldn't surprise me based on the time. I mean, you have to put things in context. Mm. But I think the movie with Gary Oldman, I think it, you know, kind of shows, you know, pretty good, gives you a pretty good idea of how he came to power. So
also,
I'm going to stay with that.
Also, Juliette Huddy's dog is named Winnie, apparently after Winston Churchill. Any reaction to that at all, Gary?
Yes, I think that's a very fine name.
All right. Well, fair enough. Now, so often when I'm smoking a cigar, I will hear from, my sister, my wife. Basically, they'll ask the question, well, if you don't inhale a cigar, what exactly do you get out of it? Let me ask you that question, Gary. And if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Gary Korb, the executive editor of CigarAdvisor.com. What makes a cigar so great?
All right. Here's what it does. First of all, it's one of the most relaxing experiences you could have. I mean, you know, I'm sure you probably already figured this out. You don't inhale it, although there are some cigar smokers who do, and I don't really recommend that.
Me neither.
If you've ever smoked cigarettes, and, you know, you inhale and, you know, you can get pretty buzzed, and you can imagine what a cigar will do to you. But what happens is the tobaccos in the cigar are blended to offer a variety of flavors that your palate will pick up. For example, it has to do with the way the cigars are cured and aged and fermented, and you know it's a whole process, and it takes an average of 3 years for a cigar to get from the seed, you know, from growing from the plant into the store, pretty much. And some cigars are aged for years. But getting back to the flavor thing, everyone's palate is different. So you may taste like some woody notes. You may taste some sweetness. You may even get like some molasses or honey. You may get a fruity taste. Your palate is very sensitive, as you know. I mean, you know, if you like food, and I think I get a pretty, you know, from listening to your show, I think you like food. And one of the guys I work with, you know, he says, you know, when people ask him, hey, you know, like, what's a good cigar for me? You know, like, you know, so he'll always say, well, what do you like to eat? You know, so if you like spicy food, you might like spicy cigars, you know, things like that. So that's what you'll get out of it. And it's a lot of pleasure. And I'll tell you one thing that I think is the most, one of the most important things about cigar smoking. And, you know, we live in a time now where, you know, there's a lot of divisiveness, things like that. But cigar smoking is the great equalizer. I mean, when you're in a room full of cigar smokers, it doesn't matter whether you clean floors for a living or you're a brain surgeon, what color you are, what religion, that, all of that goes out the window. We all are there loving our cigars and just talking about things and, you know, trying to solve the world's problems. Well, it's just a great fraternity kind of thing.
That's for sure. Well said. Now, Gary, you alluded to the fact that most people, and we're talking with Gary Korb, he is with CigarAdvisor.com. You alluded to the fact that a lot of cigar smokers, myself included, we don't generally inhale cigars.
Right.
What does that mean for the potential health detriments of smoking a cigar? Maybe you're a little less likely to get lung cancer, but smoking a cigar, even if you don't inhale, that people shouldn't misunderstand. That's not a healthful activity, is it?
Well, I mean, you know, realistically, I guess, you know, it's not probably not the greatest thing to be, having smoke in your mouth. But, you know, I guess you really have to experience it to understand it, too, you know. You know, I mean, you can make it look pretty ugly, you know, depending how you describe it. But, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to kind of acquire a taste for it. And it's like beer or whiskey or something else. You know, it's first of all, it's a handmade product. Okay. And that's the other beauty of it. You know, there's a thing in the industry, you know, every cigar is touched by 300 hands, you know. You know, from the growing to the curing, the processing, the harvest, I mean, the whole thing. You know, so it's really a work of art that you're smoking in a lot of ways. You know, sometimes I see a cigar, it's so gorgeous, I don't even really want to smoke it. You know, I'm going to ruin it if I smoke. But
I'm still willing to ruin it.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, to get, you know, but as far as health things, you know, I think, you know, if that's something really someone who has, you know, like your doctor or medical advice, you know, should probably... You know, it's probably not for everybody, just like a lot of things.
All right. Well,
but if you're fairly healthy and, you know, I don't see anything wrong with it as long as you do it, you know, in, so you don't overdo it. I don't believe in overdoing anything, really.
Sure. Well, how frequent of a cigar smoker are you, for instance, Gary?
Well, I do it for a living. So I average, well, now with COVID, I don't like to smoke in my house, so I had a problem last year, but I usually smoke like two cigars a day on average.
Okay. And now what makes something a good cigar or a bad cigar?
Okay. Well, that is also a very subjective kind of thing. Like a bad cigar. Well, let's see. Let's start with the good cigar. A good cigar is a cigar, what they call a premium cigar. It's made entirely by hand, okay? It's not machine rolled or anything like that, like, you know, the White Owls or the stuff that you see.
Sure.
You know, actually, there are more machine-made cigars sold than any cigars. I mean, they just outpace premium handmade cigars like 5-1. And it may even be more than that.
I had no idea that was the case. Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But getting back to the premium cigars, so it's made by hand. It should be balanced. In other words, the flavors that you're getting should be, they should have a certain amount of balance to them so that you taste them, you know, pretty much all together in a harmonious way, I guess is a good way to put it. It should have a little, what we call complexity to it, where the flavors sort of change. Like, I don't know, maybe you've noticed that sometimes your cigar starts out real peppery, and then maybe about a 3/4 of an inch to 1 inch in, it starts to what we call round out, and it just kind of mellows in a sense. You know, it might be full in flavor, but it just sort of rounds out, and all those nice flavors start coming through. And if it's consistent through what I call the nub, you know, which is like the last couple of inches, but not everybody smokes down that far, then you've got yourself a really good cigar. A bad cigar would be one that isn't rolled well. You know, it's either too tight or too loose. The tobacco hasn't been fermented properly. It's going to be bitter. It's going to be what we call young. It tastes young. It's just maybe it's not, you know, there's some good cigars that taste young, but if you let them sit in your humidor for 6 months, sometimes a year, however, they improve. So that's really the main difference. It's just it's mainly a quality issue.
There's always been so
it's a personal thing.
There's okay, always been so much attention paid to the Cuban cigar, and you talked about Churchill's trip to Cuba and how it made him a cigar smoker for life. What exactly makes a Cuban cigar so great? Why is that better from a cigar that's from anywhere else?
Well, they're not necessarily better anymore. They still make some very good cigars. But I don't smoke a lot of Cubans for, you know, a couple of reasons. Mostly, I just don't want to support the government, to be honest with you. You know, but I do get Cubans as gifts and things like that. And I have bought a few in the past. I'm going to be honest. But the Cuban cigar is like the standard. Like France is the standard for wine, say. Just like France was the standard for wine, Cuba became the standard for the cigar. And then, of course, we had the embargo, right? And a lot of the people who were making cigars in Cuba after the revolution came, they left. They went to Honduras, they went to Nicaragua, they went to the Dominican Republic. So now you have people making cigars in these other countries. And of course, because of the embargo, they couldn't be made with Cuban tobacco. Well, anyway, they start to get better and better and better. And Nicaragua, in my opinion, has become the new Cuba. I think almost everything today, just about every premium cigar is made either in Nicaragua, has Nicaragua tobacco in it, you know. It's just a wonderful place to grow tobacco. And Nick Perdomo, who makes some excellent cigars, says he thinks that God selected Nicaragua as the place to grow the best tobacco. So they're really giving the Cubans a run for their money. I've heard people say, you know, I had a Cuban, it was too tight, I couldn't draw on it. You know, I hear a lot of complaints about them. I honestly have not had a Cuban that wasn't that bad. I've had very few problems with them, but you know, it's Nicaragua's like it, you know, and the Dominican is still very good. I mean, it's amazing what they've been able to do with these new processes they have now for agriculture. It's just incredible.
Now, there are certain things, whether we're talking liquor, whether we're talking food, there are certain things where if you pay more, you can tell the things that are most expensive are going to be better quality. There are other things where the more expensive does not necessarily mean a better quality. In the cigar field, does a more expensive cigar indicate that it's probably better?
Not necessarily. Again, it comes down to personal taste. I've had $5 cigars that taste as good as any $10 or $12 cigar. It's just, you know, they just got it right for me, you know, in that particular cigar. But one thing I think a lot of cigar smokers don't understand, because a lot of cigars, you know, we all want to save money. You know, they all want a deal. They want a great deal. You know, everyone's looking for a deal. And there are lots of deals to be had in the cigar business. But the quality of the tobacco is equivalent to basically its price. So in other words, if you're the best tobacco costs more money, obviously. So if you make a cigar with tobaccos that have been really fully aged, really, you know, I mean, the top, you know, cream of the crop, they have to charge more for that cigar. And it's probably going to be a better cigar. But is it a better cigar for you? Maybe it's a better cigar for someone who's more experienced, who will appreciate that those tobaccos. But really, price is not really a big deal in terms, you know, as far as enjoyment.
There are,
it's just a matter of quality.
There's a great tradition of enjoying a nice cigar with a fine glass of whiskey, maybe a scotch, maybe a bourbon, maybe something else. In terms of your own preferences, what whiskeys do you think pair particularly well with cigars?
Well, the king of the cigar pairing whiskey is bourbon. It is bourbon all the way. And of course, single malt whiskey is good too. Here's the rule of thumb. If you're smoking a full body cigar, you probably want to have a full body whiskey with it. A milder or lighter cigar, lighter whiskey. So if you go by those rules, you're probably pretty safe. I'm sort of acquiring a taste for bourbon. I'm more of a rum guy. I just like the whole idea of, you know, cigars and rum. But I have learned a lot about bourbon. The thing about bourbon, and this goes to what they call contrasting or complementary flavors. These are great things to have. So, for example, you ever had like salted caramel?
Sure.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds kind of weird when you first say it.
Right.
Hey, have some salted caramel. Why would I want salt on my caramel? Well, those flavors actually work really well, don't they? So you want to take like your bitter sour and sort of complement it with a sweet savory. And that's what makes bourbon so great, because bourbon, you know, has flavors that range anywhere from maple syrup to honey to caramel, nuts, charred oak. A lot of these flavors are also prevalent in some cigars. So what happens is the bourbon brings the sweetness and kind of the leather and dark toasty flavors out of a full body cigar, for example. So it actually complements a cigar very well, bourbon. Tennessee bourbons tend to be a little better with lighter cigars because they have a lot of charcoal filtering. They're a little smoother and, you know. And ryes, which I'm not crazy about, they can be resistant to, like, cigars that are very peppery, very spicy cigars. The peat doesn't seem to mix very well. I mean, some people, I guess, like it. But they're good with cigars that are toasty and nutty in character, okay? And then rum is very similar to bourbon because it's got the sweetness and the oak barrel kind of thing. But bourbon is much more complex. And, of course, it depends on what kind of bourbon you like. I mean, it's amazing how, like, these bourbons, coffees, cigars are all kind of the same mix because it depends on where it was grown, where it was made. You know, it's fascinating.
We're talking with Gary.
I like it with coffee. Coffee's my favorite, really.
Really? Coffee and cigars?
Yeah. Coffee and a cigar, you can't beat it.
Hot coffee.
Hot or cold. Oh. Now it's summertime, I'll be going into the iced coffee thing.
All right. We're talking with Gary Korb. He's the executive editor for CigarAdvisor.com. Gary, what exactly is CigarAdvisor.com?
Cigar Advisor is your number one resource for cigar reviews, advice, and news. So what we do at Cigar Advisor is we write feature articles on everything and anything that has to do with cigars, from everything from the growing, you know, in the, you know, the plantations, the farm, you know, the farms, the factories, the people who make the cigars. I do a lot of interviews with people in the business. I do a series called Master Blenders where I've spoken to people like I mentioned Nick Perdomo before. I've talked with Jose Blanco, who's now with Arturo Fuente. I've met a lot of wonderful people in this business. It really is a wonderful business. And I've gotten to, you know, what's really fascinating about it is I've really gotten to get a real good taste of the Cuban cult, or even, well, beyond Cuban, but, you know, the Latin culture. You know, they're just fascinating people. It's a fascinating business. And I just think that that's one of the things that I've gotten the most out of it. So what we do with Cigar Advisor is we will do cigar reviews. So there are a lot of cigar reviews. I do a weekly review called Hashtag Now Smoking. We do a lot of videos. We do fan mail. We answer questions. It's kind of like the questions you're asking me. You know, we answer One of the ones I did recently was kind of interesting. It was about wetting your cigar, like actually wetting the wrapper with water, which is supposed to make it taste smoother and mellow it out. I said, this can't be true. Well, apparently it works, but it's it works more for, you know, cigars that are a little dried out. But it does have an effect on the cigar. It doesn't get the cigar soaked inside or anything like that. It's really fascinating. So that's what we do with Cigar Advisor. We just keep putting stuff out there for people who are interested. And so we talk about the, you know, what's going on with the FDA and cigars. Just you name it, we talk about it on Cigar Advisor.
Gary, final question, and I hope people do check out your website, CigarAdvisor.com. The band, the label that's on a cigar, mm-hmm. I see some fellas, they take off that label right away. Others keep it on. Some keep it on right until the flame is about to get there. Mm-hmm. What is the etiquette say about what you're supposed to do with a label on a cigar?
Okay, good question. Well, in the old days, a lot of times they would take the cigar band off the cigar because you didn't want to show off that maybe you were smoking a very expensive cigar. But today, I think people like to leave the band on because I think other cigar smokers like to know what, you know, the guy next to him is smoking, you know. But you really should wait until the cigar gets the burn gets closer to the band, because the heat from the cigar will loosen the glue, and you want to be able to take the band off very, very slowly and carefully. You don't want to, sometimes it'll just slip off, but if you're going to peel it off, you want it to be, you know, you don't want to take any of the tobacco wrapper with you. The wrapper is the most expensive part of the cigar.
Interesting.
And you don't want to ruin that. It's also where a lot of the flavor comes from.
So this is an area where the etiquette has changed. It used to be cast your label off right away. Now it's wait till the heat gets right near the label and then take it off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way you should do it. You know, you just want it to get warm enough to take the band off. I mean, I've done it just – I wasn't thinking I'd start to take the band off for whatever reason, and then, oh, man, I just ruined it, like, you know,
well,
$9.
Gary, thank you very much for the time this morning.
My pleasure.
Hopefully we can chat again and hopefully meet up soon and share a cigar.